Just want to throw a little thank you out there to anybody that participated last night. The young adult Sunday school class had a bonfire cookout activity night thing planned for the youth group, and it was a great time. I mean, I was truly blessed by the time that we had, and what we're trying to do is work with some of the older youth to feel more comfortable once they get out of high school to feel free to join in a little more with I guess you could say with the rest of the church. Not that they don't join in with the rest of the church, but just to kind of take that next step. So that was very very neat. And then two more things. First of all, I am personally going to be a little selfish here and ask for some prayer. I've got some pretty big stuff coming up this week that's very exciting for me personally. Just ask that maybe we could have some prayer during the week would be wonderful, especially the first 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That would be greatly appreciated. And then finally, before I get started here, I can't take full responsibility for this sermon. So if it's not good, you can call Nazarene Bible College and you can complain about their chaplain there. But one of my assignments from my class this last term was that I had to listen to a sermon and I had to break it down part by part. And I decided, you know what? Since we've had such a crazy last couple weeks, really, to be honest with you, I'm going to take this sermon that I did that assignment on, I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to use it this morning. So that's my venting time there. If you'd open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, we're just going to be looking at one verse and one verse only. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now let everybody get there. I'm not going to read from it yet, but if you want to open your Bible and just kind of put it off to the side for a moment, that would be great. And while everybody's getting there, I'm going to stop you right now and ask if you'd bow your heads with me so we can say a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you now. We just want to thank you for the vastness of your glory, Lord, and the beauty that you have given us, Lord. And as we can take the time, we can look outside and we can see your glory and your presence in every day, as long as we just open our eyes and we just look out there, Lord. And it's very sad to know the amount of people that do not believe in you and the people that don't believe that you have any part in this world, Lord. And Lord, we just want to come to you now. We just want to pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and just allow us to listen to your word and to meditate on your word this morning, Lord. And we'll thank you. Amen. In answer to the question, did you ever invite Christ into your life? A slightly intoxicated man once said, "Yes, I did, but it's just not kicking it for me anymore." And you know, to be honest with you, that's something that I feel a lot of Christians have come to. At this time in the world, this time in their lives, whatever it may be, that attitude of, well, yeah, I've accepted Christ, so I'm okay. And you know, and it's not necessarily like that. If you're living your life for the Lord, then yeah, you're all right. But we can go through those times where we have a power outage in our lives, and that's what this sermon has been entitled. Actually, it's been entitled "When the Power Goes Out." But it's the same kind of an idea. And so as we look at this, there's just a couple questions that I kind of want you to remember and to kind of reflect on as we go through this. But have you ever had a feeling that somehow your Christian faith just isn't the same? You live your life and you think to yourself, man, this just doesn't feel like it did 3 years ago. Or it didn't feel like it did 5 years ago. Or that time when we came into that initial conversion experience. Well, here's the main question that I want you to ask yourself. Has God changed? What significant differences does God make in your life today that He didn't make 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever your situation might be? Are there differences that He's making today that weren't there then? Or are there differences, on the other hand, that He was making at that time in your life, that first initial conversion experience that you had where you decided to live your life for the Lord, that He's not making now? Obviously, God hasn't changed. and His effectiveness for us living our lives isn't any different than what it was 2,000 years ago. The God that we serve is still the same God. And we read that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says, it reads that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And once we get through that, let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which is the main verse we're going to be looking at. I'm not going to break it down, but we're going to be looking at it. It reads this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." And you see, when I read that verse, up until I first listened to the chaplain at Nazarene Bible College, which at the moment his name is has left me, but and I listen to him every week. It's a little, that's not too good. I'm only 23 and I'm forgetting these things already, but that's okay. But you know, I know up until I listened to that chapel service, which actually their chapel service is there a lot like they are here. In our 8:30 service, the worship music, and then they have their chaplain come up, or he sets up a worship leader that somebody will come in and speak. But you know that what they're talking about here, the old is gone and the new has come. It's not just that initial conversion experience that he's talking about. If you think about it, that old leaving and new coming should take place every day of our lives. Every day when you wake up, you should be just a little bit further on that journey with the Lord. And that's exactly what's being said here, is that it's not just that initial time. It's not just that first time that you make that decision. It's going to be the rest of your life. And so if your life isn't like that, there are four simple steps. Not simple steps, but I feel kind of like a person in infomercial that is constantly, you know, giving you different ideas. But these are from the Bible, so these are true ideas. The four steps are: first, you need to recognize your failure, our failure. We need to reestablish our relationship. We need to reinstitute the disciplines. And finally, we need to reconsider the alternatives. So as you look at this, we'll look at step number one: recognize your failure. I remember a few years ago, I don't remember exactly the exact date or anything, but I remember a few years ago waking up in the middle of the night. And why I had to wake up in the middle of the night was because there was something special going on the next morning that I really wanted to attend, and I didn't want to wake up late. And at that time, I didn't have a cell phone. So I didn't have my cell phone and my alarm clock in my room. I just had my alarm clock. Well, I remember waking up in the middle of the night one night, and it happened to be that special night. And I don't remember what was going on. It was something special in my life. But I woke up, and I rolled over in bed, and I looked, and my alarm clock was blank. And I rolled back over to go back to sleep, and then I thought to myself, you know what, that's not right. So I turned back over, and it's blank. And I thought, oh no, what's going on? So then I get up, and I go into the living room, and I look. And generally from our living room, late at night, if you look through our living room window, you can see some of the light coming from Corey. And I remember looking out the window, and there was no light. And I thought, man, that's weird. That doesn't seem right. So I walked out into the living room, or into the kitchen. And when I got into the kitchen, I looked around and I reached in to grab something to drink. And the drink felt a little warmer than normal. It was orange juice or apple juice or something. It felt a little warmer than normal. And I thought, okay, something's not right here. You see, what had happened there was a power outage. All right? That happened in the middle of the night. I had no clue. I had no clue what was going on. I was still dead asleep. All right? But you see, those power outages don't just happen with electricity. Those power outages happen within our own lives. They happen with you and they happen with me. And that tells us, that story, that illustration about the power outage, it says a lot about our Christian life when you think about it. All right? Those lights go out in our heart, or our desire to love Christ kind of diminishes, it goes away. Right? There's a loss of spiritual energy. And you know, the easiest way to realize it is when you're sitting there and you realize that there's a darkness that's creeped into your life. That darkness that comes in that makes you realize that, you know, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Even though my habits may stay the same, my church habits, my attending church regularly, my working a ministry in the church, whether it's Sunday school or youth group or preaching or worship team or anything, VBS director, whatever it might be, any of those things could happen, all right? Those could stay the same. We might still be tithing regularly, or we might be reading our Bible and praying. But you see, we can do all those things in the dark. If you were to come here next week, and they were to have the same music for a third straight week, which, by the way, if he wouldn't have said anything, I wouldn't have realized it. I wouldn't have realized that we did the same songs. I don't remember from week to week what songs we do. All right? But if you were to come to a familiar place like Faith Evangelical Church, and it was pitch black in here, what are the things that we still could do? We could still sing. We know these songs, right? We could still sit beside each other and talk. These three girls sit next to each other almost every morning. Colleen, Bethany, and Megan. All right? They sit together an awful lot. And you know what? They could probably still sit beside each other if it was pitch black in here. Because they know each other's voices. And you know, truth be told, my dad, or Pastor Lynn, as some know him, Pastor Homer, Pastor Bruce, they could come up here and give the best sermon of their lives in the pitch black. And you know, with that being said, it's pretty obvious that really in the black, if you're in a familiar area, in the pitch black, you could still do the same things you could do in the light. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that most everybody in this building right now, if it were totally dark in here, there was no light coming in from the windows or anything, you could probably get up and walk out of this building without touching a thing. Because you remember what it looked like in the light, so you can get through anything. You can get through these doors, you can get through the walkway here in the dark. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. If we gathered, the only thing that I can say is if we gathered here week after week after week in the dark, that would cause a distraction. That dark would start engulfing everything, all of our thoughts. And you know what? To be honest with you, people probably would stop coming. Who would stop coming? Anybody want to be honest enough to say, I would stop coming if it were dark in here every week? A few? Okay, I would. I wouldn't come. I don't see anybody. I would know their voices, but I wouldn't come. If it was totally dark in here, I would not come. Because you know what? My favorite part of this service is that I get to sit up here and I get to turn around during songs and I can look at all you guys and see all the smiles on your faces as you worship the Lord. And you know what? That's a great thing for me to be able to do. I love to be able to do that. I loved when I was helping out with the youth group, when we would do songs, just to sit there. I wouldn't sing. I don't sing. I can't sing. I'm not a good singer. I can, but I'm not a good singer. But I would sit there during youth group, and I would just watch them, and all their faces would just light up. And that's so important to me personally. But you see, as we said, many would probably stop coming, which is very, very unfortunate, but it's the way it is. So, first of all, in order for things to be the way they were at that first initial conversion point, we must return to the light. Secondly, we must reestablish the relationship. Now, it's no secret as to how people get to a relationship with God. This is going to be a little... What's the word I'm looking for here? I want people to answer these, I guess. What's interaction. Thank you. Interaction. All right? Two things that we need for that initial conversion. We must have what? You can start guessing, huh? All right? Well, don't guess. You can answer it. Must have faith. All right? And you can answer the next one, too, if you want. That's fine. And we must what? What's that? Okay. Invest. Yeah. There's one particular word I'm thinking of. Repent. Pastor Homer did a great analogy with the kids at VBS this week, where he had a table. Can I say this to him? Can I tell him about this? That's fine. I have a couple pennies upstairs. at a table in the middle of the room, and he told the kids to stand on this side, and he stood on that side, and he said, follow everything that I do. And so he started walking, and he gets right in front of the table, and he turns around, and he goes this way, and they all did it. And he used that to show them that you've just repented from something. You were going towards that table, and you turned around, and you went the other way. He used an easy analogy to show the kids that this is what repentance is. All right? So you need those two things. You need to what? Have faith and repent. All right? And you know, the great thing is that when you have faith and you repent that initial time, okay, God is now the source of your new life. He is now that person that your life is going to revolve around. You're plugging yourself into Him. You're not plugging yourself into an outlet or into something that could get a power outage. You're plugging yourself into something that is never going to go out for the rest of your life. All right. Repent again of your spiritual failures and the lack of spiritual concern. Because like Hebrews said, Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And having that relationship with Him will plug you into Him for the rest of your life. If prayers become a burden on your life, or reading the Bible no longer has interest in your life, or anything like that, it's time that we reconsider what's taking place. It's time we start looking in the mirror and saying, okay, something's not right here. So to overcome spiritual power failure, you must recognize your spiritual failure, reestablish our relationship with Christ. And step number three, we must reinstitute the disciplines. Most relationships with Christ go wrong in this area, the disciplines in our lives. It's very hard. It's very hard, time-consuming, and you know, sometimes it's very irritating trying to keep up with all this stuff. I know there are times during the week that I mean, especially during the summertime, like last week, I had to get up, you know, and I had stuff to do during the day, and I had, you know, VBS at night, and not that I was helping. Amy knows that. I wasn't really helping. I was more causing trouble. But, you know, there was all sorts of stuff going on. I had basketball. I was supposed to have basketball four times last week, and one of them got canceled, so I was here a little more than normal. But, you know, our lives get busy. And that's when our discipline starts going away from God and going into our own personal lives. The personal lives of, okay, this is what I've got to do. This is what I want to do. Okay, God, I don't have time to read the Bible today, or I don't have time to do this. So the spiritual disciplines in our lives is really where a lot of the power outages start. The discipline of being in the Word. The discipline of regular church attendance. You know, football's on, or basketball's on, or, well, I haven't had a chance to mow my lawn, so I'm going to go mow my lawn, or, you know, anything like that to get you out of church. That's part of a spiritual failure. The discipline of sharing your faith with others, and the discipline of prayer, which is not just talking, but in my case, far more importantly, listening to what the Lord has to say. When I get into a prayer time, I like to say, okay, God, here's what I'm thinking. And I talk and I talk and I talk. Then I get done, and it's almost one of those things, like I remember when I would get in an argument with my dad, which didn't happen. We didn't really get in too many. I didn't try to overstep my boundaries too often. But I can remember one time I got in trouble, and I tried to defend myself, and I'm standing there, and I'm, you know, I dug my feet into the ground, and I'm telling him, well, this is what's going on, this is what's happening. And he let me rant for 15 minutes. And then he goes, are you done? No, I'm not done. So I went for another 5 minutes, and he goes, are you done? And I said, okay, I'm done. He let me talk for 20 minutes, and his response was, I don't even remember what it was, something that lasted a whole 30 seconds, and I was like, all right, you win. And I don't remember what it was about. I'm sure I've done it with my mom, too. I'm sure I did it with my sisters. I remember getting mad at my sisters a few times. But my sisters were never as nice to me. They would get mad at me, or I'd get mad at them. It didn't matter. They just weren't the nicest people to me when I was younger. So if you want to yell at them for me, go right ahead. That's fine. But with those disciplines, there's one way to make a commitment. To get your life back on the right path that you need to be on, Just make that commitment to the Lord. Make that decision that, look, there's not going to be a thing in my life that's going to step in front of my time with God. There's not going to be anything. There's not going to be a price that's too high to pay to be able to follow my Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly where we need to go. And finally, step number four. We must reconsider the alternatives. The alternatives to keeping our relationship with Christ is all but pretty. It really is. It's all but pretty. And you know, that's true on a church standpoint and also a personal standpoint. A few weeks ago, I was in Montana. And I got to spend some time with Barry and Val Troyer and got to spend some time with a whole bunch of people from our denomination. But I was with Barry and Val. Actually, I was with, I think it was Val. I think it was right when I landed. And Val had picked me up, and she took me over to their boy Jake's house for a little while. And so we hung out over there for a little while, got to see Owen. And we left, and we're driving back to their house, which is about, I don't know, how far away is their house from Billings? About an hour. How many miles? 40 or 50 miles, and it takes them an hour. All right? And we're driving. We go through this one area. And I remember looking off to the side of the road, and there were two or three old church buildings that were empty. And I looked over at Val, and I said, well, you know, I knew what her answer was going to be. I said, well, what are those? And she goes, well, they're church buildings. I said, well, what are they now? She goes, they're vacant. Nobody's using them. And you see, those churches are those churches that did not make a commitment. They didn't make that commitment to the Lord. They didn't have a vision of where they wanted to go. And I have one more here. And their reason for existence was gone. They had no reason. They weren't connected to the Lord. They weren't plugged into the Lord. So their reason for existence was gone. There was nothing there that they needed in their eyes. All right? But you see, the same is true on a personal level. The alternatives to a living life with God it's scary. It's very ugly. That time where that light kind of goes out and we stop attending church on a regular basis, or we stop reading the Bible. Normally, that's where it starts. We stop reading the Bible and we stop praying. And then once we stop doing that, we stop attending church. And then once we stop attending church, we stop telling people about what our beliefs are. Because at that point, we may be far enough down the road that we really don't have any beliefs at that moment. But you see, we've just got to make sure that the glow of God's presence doesn't leave our faces. We've got to stay happy and stay willing. And it doesn't matter how bad it gets. God doesn't want us to be that way. He doesn't want us to lose that spiritual, want, I guess you could say, to be in church. He doesn't want us to lose that. He wants us to be in Him. It's kind of like that time I had a friend in high school who, I'll just be honest with you, it was a girlfriend back in high school. And we dated, we were actually just talking about her last night, which is kind of funny. But we dated for, how long did we say? 3 years? I think 3 full years we dated in high school. Started the very beginning of my sophomore year, went sophomore, junior, senior year, and then like a week into college or something like that. So it was pretty much 3 full years. And things ended. They didn't end on the prettiest of terms. And you know, it took, we were talking about this last night too. It probably took this girl and I, it probably took us 3 years before we could actually talk again. But you know what? When that happened, when those 3 years were up, we reconnected and we reestablished that relationship that we had. And you know, not that we had, we're not dating anymore, but we that friendship that we had where we could talk. And we could, you know, before that, we couldn't even be in the same building. You know, if she saw me or I saw her, we were like, kind of turn our back and walk away. But you know what? Every time I'm on Facebook, if she's on, I get a message. And if I don't get a message from her, she gets a message from me. We talk all the time now. We text back and forth. We don't talk on the phone. I'm not much of a phone talker. But you know, she texts me, I text her. And you know what? It feels amazing to be able to talk to somebody who had such an important part of my life for so long. And that's exactly what God wants. He wants us to reestablish that relationship with Him. He wants us to recognize our failure, reconsider the alternatives, reestablish our relationship, and reinstitute the spiritual disciplines in our lives. Let's go ahead and stand. Before we pray, I do have a challenge. I'm not going to have necessarily an open... The altar is always open. But I would just like to extend a little bit of a challenge out to anybody who's willing to take it. And it's something that I personally have decided that when I listened to this sermon, I was going to take this challenge, and I'm going to do it. So I'm in the process of taking this challenge as well. But I want to challenge you to commit to the disciplines of the spiritual life, the discipline of being in the Word, the discipline of regular church attendance, the discipline of sharing your faith with others, and finally, the discipline of prayer. And as I said before, prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is taking that time where you talk and then you sit quietly and you allow the Lord, like that illustration I used with my dad. You can talk and talk and talk, and he's going to be going, "Matt, are you done yet? I've got something I want to say. Papa, are you done yet? You talk way too much about the heat. I want to talk to you for a minute here." All right? And that's very important. So I want to challenge you to commit to those disciplines just for 3 months. Start for the summer. Start right now and go through the summer. And I guarantee if we do this as a church, that first of all, our personal lives are going to be much stronger in the Lord. And secondly, our church will grow because there will be so many people that want to express what's going on in this church out in the public, and this church will take off. That challenge right there will help. All right? So if you feel like you want to take that challenge, that you want to use those four disciplines, as you're leaving and you shake my hand, just go ahead and tell me you're accepting the challenge or, you know, something to that effect, and I'll catch what you're throwing at me there. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we want to just come to you now. We just want to thank you for this time that you've given us, and Lord, living in a culture that we do where we can serve you openly, and we can tell, Lord. And the sad thing is, the church in America has become quiet. And Lord, we don't want that. We don't want that anymore. We want to get out into the community. We want to tell the community about what's taking place. And Lord, my prayer is that will start right here at Faith Evangelical Church, and it'll move throughout the country, Lord. And we'll see a great big revival back to you, Lord. But Lord, it has to start with something, and it can start right here at Faith Evangelical Church, and it can start with us wanting to take a challenge to strengthen our lives so we can take that and we can give it to somebody else, Lord. So Lord, as we prepare for the rest of the festivities today with the VBS activities in the morning and in the evening and the graduates, Lord, I just want to say a special prayer for the graduates that Lord, you would be with them and you would hold them and you would protect them and Lord, as this would be their last summer before college, Lord, just help them to stay safe and help their dreams and goals and aspirations, Lord, to first and foremost be through you, and then at that point be able to reach your community for you, Lord. And we'll thank you for everything you do. Amen. And if you want to stick around, we have 20 minutes before Sunday school. Stick around. There's a Sunday school class for everybody. And then feel free to hang out and fellowship with each other.